In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today is the Feast of the Blessed Trinity, one of the great seven principal feasts of the Church. The seven principal feasts of the year take precedence over all other feasts of observance. I'm sure all of you know all of the seven principal feasts, right? We get with Easter, Ascension, 50 days after Easter, Pentecost, we celebrated last Sunday. Today is Trinity Sunday. November 1st, All Saints Day. September 25th, Christmas Day. And one of them, Epiphany, very good. January 6th, Epiphany. And today is the only feast day not found in an event of our Lord's life or a famous miracle, but the only feast day founded upon a doctrine of the Church. Yet many would say, no, today is, the doctrine of the Trinity is a miracle. It is the central doctrine of our faith that states that we believe in one eternal and unfathomable God, but in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the divine persons of God are co-equal to one another. The Father is not more God than the Son. The Son is not more God than the Holy Spirit, and so forth. And saints and theologians for 2,000 years have tried to come up with images and analogies and metaphors to help us understand and comprehend the Trinity of God. Saint Patrick is the most famous for that cloverly. One clover or three leaves. And theologians love the illustration of the celestial lake or three waterfalls. But however many beautiful images and metaphors we have to admit that the Trinity of God will always remain enshrouded in mystery because it goes beyond our comprehension. And what is mystery? I've said this in past sermons. Mystery is simply the acknowledgement that God is infinite and we are not. And when we think of God, it will always be a reality that goes beyond our comprehension, but incongruent with it. Mystery is not simply anti-intellectual, anti-logical, human reason, blind belief. And yet, mystery is the belief in God that is congruent with human reason, congruent with science, congruent with reason. And that's why we grow in mystery. A thousand years ago, some of what was mystery a thousand years ago was not mystery today. And some of what is mystery to us today won't be mystery 500 years from now. But there will always be mystery. Because God is infinite, and we are finite. And the Trinity of God, the doctrine of the Trinity is always enshrined in mystery. But what is doctrine, really? Doctrine really is nothing more than human beings looking back in hindsight and trying to put words to what they've experienced in God. Doctrine is a beautiful thing. And St. Augustine of Hippo said, the minute we try to put words to what we believe, words to infinite God, we limit our belief. And yet the most noble thing a human being can do is put words to what they believe, to attempt to articulate their faith. And so the doctrine of the Trinity, the central doctrine of the faith, is simply human beings articulating how they have experienced God, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, we believe that we have had help. This couldn't have come on its own. We nevertheless had divine revelation. The cynic would say, you can't just make this up. But a person of faith would say, yes, it is a miracle of God. The Holy Spirit has guided us in understanding who God is in our lives. The beautiful first lesson that Jim read, taking place in the 8th century B.C., of the call of Isaiah the prophet, happened 7 centuries before Jesus walked this earth, 7 centuries before the gift of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, all these centuries before the Church articulated the doctrine of the Trinity. And yet, two types of shadows, it foreshadows, and it illustrates in many ways the Trinity of God. Around the year 742 B.C., the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah was in the temple and had this vision. And the vision was of God. We would say the first person is the Holy Trinity. God Almighty, the immortal, invisible God only one, sitting on the throne with the train filling the temple, with cherubim and seraphim singing, holy, holy, holy. We repeat those words in every Mass. And Isaiah saw God in all of His transcendence. He went to God for whom even the angels failed their faces. We think of our Gothic architects and cathedrals and the use of incense, the amazing music composed, how we reflect in our liturgy this awesome, almighty, transcendent God that Isaiah witnessed. And what happened to Isaiah when he witnessed the holiness of this God? It was miracle to him, the unworthiness of his mortal nature. And he bowed, and he was undone. He says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. But God did not let a moment pass, for he sent a seraph, a six-winged seraph, to the rescue, to touch his lips with charcoal, symbolizing the absolving of his mortal guilt, and to the comfort of the sacredness round about him. Such Isaiah stood tall. That charcoal, that seraph, represents the second person of the Trinity. Jesus, who says, I am also your brother, and I was born as you are born, I lived as you live, I suffered as you suffer, and I died as you die. And when I did die on the cross, whipping with nails, all that would hold you back, all that would hold your face in the mud, all that would condemn you, I took that on me so that God's eyes could look upon you and see only the goodness that was created. And so, we like Isaiah can stand tall through the love of the second person of the Holy Trinity. And then what happened to Isaiah? Because if we need a prophet, who will go for us? Isaiah said boldly before the throne of God with those famous words, here am I, send me. What is the job of the third person of the Holy Trinity? The Holy Spirit to woo and to guide and to encourage, inspire, and comfort, embolden, to nerve our arm. The disciples all fled the cross except for John and Mary. But after the Holy Spirit, they became brave proclaimers of the gospel. Peter denied even knew Jesus and cowered before the death of Jesus. But after receiving the Holy Spirit, he became that great chief disciple, to which became the first, the bishop of our church. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we, through the Trinity of God, become these amazing, brave, inspired people who say to God, grace, here am I, Lord, send me. I propose two things to do today on this, to commemorate this holy principal feast. And first is simply to acknowledge, not to do anything, but just to acknowledge that we keep company with the Trinity of God for all of our spiritual lives. We are baptized as babies. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into the Trinity. And when we die, the last thing, if we are privileged to receive the last rites, before we breathe our last, are the words of the priest, depart, O Christian soul, out of this world, in the name of God who created you, in the name of Jesus who redeemed you, in the name of the Holy Spirit who sanctifies you. May your rest be the same in peace, and your dwelling place in the paradise of God. We are born and we die in the Trinity, and all in between at every Mass, at every sacrament, at every prayer, we keep company with the Trinity of God. So it asks us perhaps in the days ahead of our lives to consider, yes, comprehending the Trinity, studying the concept of the Trinity, adoring the Trinity, also enjoying the Trinity, and praying the Trinity. What a beautiful thing to begin our lives and end our lives in the Trinity. And so I ask this pastor to consider beginning each day with the prayer of the Trinity. We get up in the morning and simply say, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before we close our eyes at night before sleeping, just say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, brothers and sisters, the 24-hour day is a mini-life. Americans and our Western culture think of months and weeks and years as the building blocks of life. They are not. The monastics teach us that it's the concept of the 24-hour day is the building block of the spiritual world. Because the day is a mini-life. It has its birth, its successes, its failures, its joys, its sorrows, its disappointments, its achievements, It has the cool of the day. It has its depth. What a beautiful thing to begin each and every day of the day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in the end, in the name of the Trinity. Blessed be the life of the Trinity of God in our lives.